The sound of sirens in Cabell County, West Virginia, has a good chance of indicating an overdose these days. EMS Director Gordon Mary says through September 24th, his agency has responded to 622 overdose calls this year. EMS last year responded to more than 900 overdoses, more than in the past 3 years combined. The county received national attention in August after responding to 26 overdoses in just 4 hours.
That many overdoses in that short a time was a challenge. It just took us off guard there for the first 5 minutes or so.
All 26 victims that night survived thanks in part to the medication naloxone. Naloxone, also known by its brand name Narcan, is becoming more a part of everyday life due to the epidemic. To understand how it works, you have to understand what happens to the body during an overdose.
Opioids are depressants. In the body, they slow everything down. It's the respiratory depression that kills people. They depress the respirations to zero, to where they just don't breathe.
That's Dr. Melinda Ford, who runs an addiction clinic at Ohio University. If the victim can't be resuscitated through emergency breathing, naloxone is administered as a shot or sprayed in the nose. The medicine essentially sweeps the opioids off receptors in the brain and puts the victim in immediate withdrawal.
It won't kill you, but you wish it would, because it feels horrible. Everything hurts. You gotta imagine all the receptors in your brain that are meant to sense pain have just been opened up.
Naloxone has been around since it was patented in 1961, but is getting public attention now because of the opioid crisis. Director Mary has been with Cabell County EMS for over 40 years. He says he can remember a time around 20 years ago when they started carrying naloxone.
Very little usage back when I was on their vehicle. Unfortunately, as time goes by, our usage has increased dramatically.
With overdose rates increasing in the Ohio Valley region in the last decade, governments have pushed for more access to naloxone. Ohio passed a law in 2014 adding other first responders to the list of agencies carrying the medicine. West Virginia and Kentucky followed suit with bills in 2015. Mary says each overdose call receives an ambulance, fire truck, and police officer. And while EMS administers an estimated 90% of their naloxone, the legislation is a good safety net.
I'd say it goes, we do the majority, fire, then police. And it's not because they don't want to, it's because we're there so fast.
Kentucky is also now having naloxone supplies stocked in locations not previously thought of. Factories, government buildings, and schools. Drug Control Policy Director Van Ingram says his office was approached by the makers of Narcan, Adapt Pharma, about offering 2 doses free of charge to any high school in Kentucky.
So we put together a training for school nurses representing almost every district in Kentucky and then gave them the option of accepting that Narcan kit.
Response from the community was mixed. Some questioned whether it was needed with few students across Kentucky suffering from overdoses and even fewer actually overdosing while in the school building. But Ingram says schools bring in many different types of people.
Not just students, but staff and people coming to events at the school. So they're a natural gathering place of people, and that lends itself to this type of a program.
Ohio worked to get naloxone in the homes of those at high risk for overdoses. In 2012, Project Dawn, which stands for Deaths Avoided with Naloxone, was created.
Next, assemble the nasal spray naloxone.
Now at 50 locations across the state, anyone can get a simple 20-minute training and walk out with 2 free doses of naloxone and a training video. Jolene DeFuhrheimer with the Ohio Department of Health says simplicity was key.
I think it was a very important part of making sure that it was easy for that person to do so it could be replicated and people would not be nervous about administering it.
She says they collect data on who comes in for training in order to find the best way to make the program more successful.
Not only looking at just that process of how many kits are being distributed, how many people are we reaching, but the impact.
Kentucky offers free training sessions through the Harm Reduction Coalition, and some county health departments in West Virginia also offer training. Early research indicates these programs are successful. One study published in 2013 looked at a pilot program in Massachusetts. The 19 communities with public naloxone training were able to significantly reduce fatal overdoses compared to communities without the training. Gordon Mary wants more people to take advantage of the training.
I wouldn't deny anybody the help. I think anything we can do to get them help is the right thing to do.
But he cautions that naloxone is not a magic serum. It won't spark a lifestyle change. The most frustrating thing, he says, is to revive someone, only to see that person check out of the hospital and overdose again before they can restock the ambulance.
They have the right to walk away, and there's nothing anybody can do. Everything works great to that point.
The day I spoke with Director Mary, his crews had already dealt with fatal overdoses.
We've had two today.
Two today.
Two deaths today.
Two deaths today.
And the one house we've been to numerous times.
He says he doesn't know what the answer is. Naloxone can save lives, but it can't change life habits or turn the tide of the epidemic. But at least it can give a person another chance. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Aaron Payne in Huntington, West Virginia.